Our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah 8. And if you'd like to follow along, it is in your pew Bible on page 667. Jeremiah 8, verse 18, all the way through the 9th chapter, verse 1. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes were a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It is the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Let us listen again to the stories that we know. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a wealthy landowner who, having received reports of a steward mismanaging the property, summoned the steward and said, 'What's this I hear about you? Give me an account of your service, for it's about to come to an end.' The steward thought, 'What will I do next? My employer is going to fire me. I can't dig ditches. I'm ashamed to go begging. I have it. Here's a way to make sure that people will take me into their homes when I am let go.' So the steward called the first of the landowner's debtors. The steward said to the first, 'How much do you owe my employer?' And the debtor replied, 100 jars of oil. The steward said, 'Take your invoice, sit down quickly, and make it 50. To another, the steward said, 'How much do you owe?' And the answer came, 100 measures of wheat. And the steward said, 'Take your invoice and make it 80. Upon hearing this, the owner gave this devious worker credit for being enterprising. Why? Because the children of this world are more astute in dealing with their own kind than they are the children of light. So I tell you, make friends for yourselves through your use of the world's goods, so that when they fail you, you'll be welcomed into the eternal home. If you trust others in little things, you can also trust them in greater. And anyone unjust in a slight matter will also be unjust in the greater. If you cannot be trusted with filthy lucre, then who will trust you with true riches? And if you haven't been trustworthy with someone else's money, who will give you their own? Subordinates cannot have two superiors. Either they'll hate one and love the other, or be attentive to one and despise the other. You cannot worship both God and money." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and understanding of God's holy word. The theme for today on the back of your bulletin, the subtext for the day, is prayerful living. And this reflection goes further with the 1 Timothy reading that we listened to last week. I'm not going to go there. I'm also not going to preach on Luke because I find it really, really difficult, and I don't know how to find a good word in there. I'd love to have more conversation with all of you and to hear what you think of Luke's story of this morning. So, thinking sometimes about prayerful living, we come to Jeremiah. And before that we hear Jeremiah's weeping and lament, we need to know the weight that is pressing in on him. We pick up on the story 2 weeks ago. Jerry gave us some background information on that. And Jerry told us that God was, politely put, peeved with all of the people of Zion and Israel. God was peeved with all of us. And today we hear just how sad Jeremiah is with how the world is happening around him. Today we receive more of Jeremiah's story. He is living in the days when the nation is unraveling. The temple, the center of their worship and their society, is crumbling. The people are caught between two empires, the north and the south. Their leaders are concerned more with power than with justice. Their priests, their rabbis, their teachers are silent while the poor cry out. And their land is scarred by idolatry and violence. I don't mean to sound political, but boy, I think a lot of that pertains to us today, no matter where we stand. Jeremiah loves his people. He is sent as a prophet, and he is loving the people that he is with, but he sees what they cannot bear to face, that the way they are living is leading to ruin. So Jeremiah is called out not just to speak the hard truths, but to also carry the sorrow that the other people have. That's why his words sound less like a sermon and more like a funeral dirge, less like instructions on how to live and more like a lament, a broken-hearted prayer. To be very clear, I don't think that we lament collectively often. We reserve lament collectively to our Lenten season. And sometimes I think lament is a truly honest emotion. But that's me. Back to Jeremiah. His heart is sick. It's broken. He cries out, "My eyes are rivers." His voice cracks with sorrow. "My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is faint. Oh, that my head were a spring of water, that my eyes fountains of tears." This is not a confident faith we often want to hear from our prophets, but it is the faith that sometimes we really need. Sometimes we don't lament well. Sometimes we do not need more advice when we are lamenting as an individual. You've all been there. Somebody sits there and goes beside you, "It's okay. It's all right. You'll get through that." We don't need another explanation as to why we are feeling sorrowful. We don't need to be told to stay strong. Cheer up. Tomorrow will be a better day. Sometimes we just need somebody to cry with us. Jeremiah does just that. And he's a great example of how to do that well. Today we do not come in with trumpets and triumphs, but with trembling. And I would add a lot of confusion with Luke. Jeremiah stands before us not thundering, not proclaiming, not rebuking, but weeping. If we listen carefully, can we hear the people cry out? Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not with her? Their question is our question as well. Where is God when the wounds of the world do not heal? Where is God when violence tears through our neighborhoods? When creation groans with flood and fire? When grief is heavy on our hearts of those that we love, much less our own hearts? Can we hear those cries today? Can we hear the cries from the refugee child clutching a tattered backpack after walking miles across deserts? Can we hear the cries today from a mother in Ukraine or in Gaza laying flowers on the fresh mound of their child's grave? Can we still hear the cries coming out of Libya from floods looking for family members? Or in Maui with people standing still in the ashes of their homes years later? The world is weeping. In hospital waiting rooms where no cure comes, at vigils after another school shooting, where candles flicker in the darkness and the violence does not stop. On reservations where water is poisoned and promises are broken. In neighborhoods and villages where rent rises faster than a living wage and hope truly feels like a luxury. Jeremiah dares to echo the people's pain, our pain. Jeremiah does not smooth it over, does not wrap it up neatly. Jeremiah names it, he sings it, and he weeps with it. And maybe that's our call today, to weep with the weary, to lament with the lost, to join our voices in the holy protest of tears. What if our calling as well is not always to fix, which we try to do all the time is to fix, but to feel. It's not always to answer, but to accompany. Not always to solve, but to stand together. With hearts open, with tears mingled, voices joined in lament. Washington Irving has the words, "There is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. They are messengers of overwhelming grief and unspeakable love." And yes, that is one of my favorite benedictions at a funeral. That is what our tears are. They are witnesses to unspeakable love. Because lament is not a weakness. It is faith refusing to be silent. It is a prayer that refuses to accept the world as it is. It is grief that refuses to forget that God is still here and God is still speaking. In Jeremiah's weeping, there's a whisper of hope. Even in the silence of God, Jeremiah keeps speaking. Even in the ache of his soul, Jeremiah keeps praying. Even in all of the devastation, the tumbling of the temple, the fighting between the north and the south, Jeremiah's tears are a form of love. So I dare declare that that is our witness as well. That when the world breaks, we will weep. We will keep praying, we will keep hoping, we will keep loving until the healing comes. Today, Jeremiah invites us not to hide our tears, but to bring them here. To bring them here, to not be ashamed to share your tears. Let this sanctuary, this nave, become a fountain of living water. Tears and prayers mingling together for ourselves, for our neighbors, for the wounded world that God so loves. Let us weep with this prophet. Let us pray with the people. And let us trust that even in our tears, God's Spirit moves among us, groaning, sighing, working, healing in ways yet unseen, day and every day. Let us share our tears. Amen.